So on Capitol Hill yesterday, it was the simple doctrine of just say no.
The yeas are 195, the nays are 234, the bill is not passed.
I told you we were going to talk about the farm bill, the 2013 farm bill. That's the sound of all $940 billion worth of it going down to defeat yesterday in the House of Representatives. As usual, there were lots of goodies on the menu. Farm bills are typically full of much-beloved subsidies on everything from ethanol to ice cream. This bill also intended to cut $20.5 billion from the huge food stamp program, but nothing was enough to draw that elusive majority in the House. The Takeaway's Washington correspondent Todd Zwillich joins us from Washington, D.C. Todd, welcome back.
Hi, John.
So was this ideological division in the House or just House dysfunction?
What a legislative mess. It was both. You had Republicans, John, conservative Republicans, who, as you would expect, were really uncomfortable voting for a nearly trillion-dollar bill. Just too much spending. Hey, John Boehner's one of them. In his entire career, he's never voted for a farm bill because he considers it overladen with special favors and subsidies and special interest perks. Well, John Boehner, the speaker, said he was going to vote for this farm bill because he knew that he had to give it some imprimatur to get it passed. But then there were lots and lots of different touch points. Forget about Democrats, just among Republicans. The cost of the bill, subsidies for different programs, nutritional programs, including food stamps. What had happened over several weeks is that Republicans and Democrats on the Agriculture Committee had put together a pretty elegant deal to make sure this bill could pass. They knew they had to cut spending in this bill because of the debt and deficit, and Republicans are going to insist on cutting spending. Great, everybody got that. The biggest part of this bill is nutritional assistance and food stamps. There's lots of different kinds of nutritional assistance in the bill. It's the bulk of the bill. But food stamps, John, 47 million Americans get some form of food stamp assistance at some point during the year. It's a massive program. Republicans want to cut that. Democrats don't. But they reached an agreement to do some cuts as long as you didn't touch other parts of it. The bill got to the floor and looked like there was going to be a fragile coalition to go ahead and pass it. Of course, most Democrats aren't going to vote for $21 billion in cuts to food stamps, but they got some other stuff that they thought they might be able to support. Then, John, at the last minute, here's what happened. Republican votes started to head for the exits, and Eric Cantor and John Boehner started to put some amendments on the floor to get Republicans back. Hey, we'll switch around the dairy subsidy program to get more Republicans on board. They did that, but then Democrats bolted. Hey, we'll add some new requirements to food stamps, things like new work requirements, new tracking, make it a little bit harder to get food stamps and actually shave some of the benefits in some states. Republicans came on board, Democrats bolted. Huh. So this fragile coalition to put together the bill, it just fell apart. And in the end, some 40 Democrats who were going to vote for this fragile deal, half of them said no way. The bill failed on the floor. It was a disaster.
So really, this is the Democrats shooting it down in the end. And you can hear the dysfunction in how you're describing the story there. Cantor and the leadership are essentially trying to do on the floor of the House what would normally have been done in committee, right?
It was done in committee, and in the end, it wasn't enough. And there is a lot of blame and recriminations over whose fault this was. Of course, Republicans did say and would say, Nancy Pelosi, you guys promised us 40 votes and you delivered 20. That's why it failed. Nancy Pelosi will turn around and say, if you guys can't pass a bill and 62 of your own members voted against it, what do you want from me?
Well, here's Nancy Pelosi responding to that point.
But it's always interesting to me when people blame other people for their own failures. If we ever came to you when we had the majority and said we didn't pass a bill because we didn't get enough Republican votes, well, you know, that's really, it's silly. It's sad. It's juvenile. It's unprofessional. It's amateur hour.
Wow. And here's Ted Yoho, a Republican from Florida, saying it was no big deal what we were trying to do with food stamps.
We simply closed the loopholes that allow states to sign people up into programs without the proper qualifications.
So what's the spirit like there on the floor? Is it just sort of bipartisan na-na-na-na-na-na? Or is there a sense of alarm that things are really non-functional on a pretty critical and normally not controversial bill?
There was a little bit of both. Farm bills, John, you're right. Throughout history, pass easily because so many states, everybody has a stake. Okay, maybe not in New York City, but upstate New York, how about dairy farmers? It's a big deal across the country. Everybody wants to be able to vote for it. When this thing started to unravel on the House floor yesterday, it was almost dead silent. Everybody thought this thing was going to pass, and the whips didn't know what was going on. People were stunned. Lots of recriminations afterward about how a $1 trillion bill went down the tubes. But here's the last thing, John. Yeah, people are really surprised because you know what's coming up? Immigration. There's going to have to be a coalition to find immigration. You heard Nancy Pelosi. If you guys can't get even close to the votes on a farm bill and you need me, that's okay. But don't blame us if you're 60 votes short. How are they going to pass immigration, which is 10 times more controversial than this?
Here's a bit of history, Todd. We just spent 4 minutes talking about the farm bill. That's a record for this program.
To great effect, yeah. I think.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend. Later this hour, more on the refugee crisis, immigration, and what it means to leave your home behind. We're asking you, if you suddenly had to leave your home, what would you take with you? A listener from Palm Springs, California, would bring photos and keepsakes because memories and traditions must be preserved for future generations. Paul wrote us, if I had to leave my home suddenly, I would take my wife, children, pets, as much food and water as possible. Sounds sensible. Mementos can stay in our hearts and minds. And we got this text from Grand Prairie, Texas. My dad's copy of The Hobbit, my passport, cash, and my dog. We always want to hear from you. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thetakeaway. What kind of a camper are you? We'd love to hear your story. Coming up, MLK in Motown, remembering a speech by Martin Luther King delivered 50 years ago this weekend.
He wanted all of us to stop the foolishness of trying to harm one another because of the way we looked or because of our ancestry.
Martin Luther King tried out his I Have a Dream language during the 1963 Freedom Walk Detroit. We'll talk with Tony Brown, one of the organizers who was there 50 years ago. Stay with us.